Thank you. Isn't it good about being a child of God?
Yes.
No matter where you go, no matter who you see, you all get along. Isn't that a good thing? Amen. We all clap.
We tend to, if we all breathe on the same beat, all the air disappears. So y'all be sure to time it out good. Welcome to Walnut Grove. Some of them are just getting it now. Welcome to Walnut Grove Methodist Church. God is here.
Yes, He is.
Two or more gather in His name. Jesus is there in the midst of them. May not always be able to see Him. Sometimes you can track Him, though. But He's here, moving in our midst, ready to receive our personal worship and our praise this morning. What a glorious day it is to be able to celebrate with you guys and gals this morning. And I know, you know, we're all at different places in life's journey. But we all wear that same skin of humanity. We know what it's like to be on the high days and the low days. Some are living in the high spots, and others are not so, they're sort of in between. And some are just playing down and out. But we are today, if we are under the blood of Jesus, we are the redeemed.
Amen.
We sing the songs of the redeemed today. But I have to cover a few announcements just because that's what we do. But I want to remind the congregation that we are eating lunch after church. So stay and be good hosts to our guests today. Also, the brown plate, the two plates here, will be to receive love offering from Bethel Colony of Mercy today. And we hope you'll be generous with that. Tuesday, our Bible study resumes. And we're going to finish up what we've been doing for a couple of weeks, and then we'll be looking to get started in something new. But it's a good time to break into Bible study with us. If you want to eat lunch, come at 12. Bring your own, and if not, come at 12:30 and join us. On Tuesday evening at 6:30, we'll be planning and dreaming around our Wednesday evening services here at the church. And if you want to take part in that and help us figure out what we're going to be doing on Wednesdays, come at 6:30. Wednesday nights we're praying here in the sanctuary, and folks, if you're visiting, you have specific prayer concerns you want to know will be remembered throughout the week. Leave those prayer concerns in the offering plate, and we'll be praying on Wednesday evenings for them. Sunday, we have administrative council in the Life Center, and then the following Tuesday is Methodist Women. Any other announcements I need to cover?
Judy? I'm reminded that next Sunday I'll be collecting from Luther's Kitchen. We have been kind of light on our giving, so please think about it this week and give generously.
Okay, summer support for Woodruff Soup Kitchen has been lighter, so we need to bear down and help out next Sunday for Woodruff Soup Kitchen, okay? Other announcements. Well, today is celebration. Today's about breaking the chains of bondage, setting captives free in the strong name of Jesus. At Walnut Grove Methodist Church, the Ark, and Hope Mountain Ministries support and come in contact with Bethel Colony of Mercy throughout the year, helping break the power of addiction. We do this by uncovering desperate needs in every person's heart to have a Savior. And He is Jesus, the Savior of the world. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, these women and men are living daily in victory through soul dependency upon Him. All right, let's stand up. We're going to praise the Lord through song. It's 6:32 in the hymnal. Shall we gather at the river?
Flowing by the throne of God.
We take time every Sunday morning. We believe that the lifeblood of the church is its testimony. And we want to hear from you, your testimonies today, your celebration of God's work in your life. That's because we're not, again, on any given day, we're not all in the same place. The testimonies of the redeemed have the power to encourage and strengthen and give hope. And it also gives us a special blessing when we're able to tell and give our witness, firsthand witness, what God's doing in our lives. Who has a word to share this morning? Eric?
I heard on the radio weeks ago, and I never have said it, but when the church sings, the gates of hell tremble. Yeah. They may go down today.
Well, let's make sure they don't get them put back on the pins. Others? Well, that's all right. I heard he was with the Presbyterians this week. Bailey.
I've been worried about Silas with his speech disorder about going to school full time. But God answered that because he's going to be his teacher. He will be able to watch over him, you know, his holiday, make sure no one's messing with my baby.
Sounds like collusion by the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Others? Flo?
Just a joy that we have guests who travel lonely to be with us.
I know. Some of our folks can't even get up and cross the lawn to come to church. These people have been crossing mountains all morning, fighting tigers and lions and bears. And they had to dress and get in here. Other praises. Joy. He sure did. Ooh, we had our very first annual conference. Behold was an awesome event. Just the power of God on display and evident in the lives of people who have been brought out in many different ways and finding one another. It's just a powerful week. We appreciate your prayers, and we're probably going to have a report next week on the conference from Alice. There she is. Probably next week she'll tell you how we snowballed her all week. All right, any other testimony? Oh. Arlene, you behave.
I am.
All right.
So, I just want to tell y'all several weeks ago, I told you that my, our son
yes.
quit his job of 30 years at the Jesus, and he teaches tomorrow in Cherokee County, his first class of machine shop.
Praise the Lord.
Also, his oldest daughter becomes a teacher tomorrow too, back in Cherokee County. And I want y'all to pray for them this week that they will have a wonderful day and be able to teach kids.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, Tricia. I think we ought to add our praise to the situation this past week with the flooding and all of that bad that it was. Could have been much, much worse. And we had story after story of God's intervention for us. And of course, we're just grateful for that, even while we continue to pray for the people who continue to struggle with the flooding and everything. So, well, let's transition then to our prayer concerns. Who are we praying for this week? Yes, ma'am.
Please pray for Kevin Bishop. Kevin has been sick all week.
He's had
a rough week, so he asked
for
your prayers.
Okay, Kevin Bishop. Others? Yes, sir, Sean.
School getting ready to start up. Pray for all school marketing, school bus drivers, the students, as well. Continue prayer for our military.
All right, okay. Yeah, there's a lot going on. It's going to be a busy year. Lots of responsibility to pray and partner with God. Others? Allison?
Chris, just remember Red Bank Methodist Church as we start the process of leaving the United Methodist Church, and that the pathway is a lot smoother than, you know.
Well, what we and others back in the beginning when all that started, what we discovered was it's a giant specter until you just step out in faith, and then God just knocks it all down. So a lot of the things we think of as bondage are nothing more than just shadow shows, you know.
Amen.
We have to decide and step out on faith and stand for God's word and watch what he does. So we pray powerfully for that. Other concerns? Monty?
No, I live pretty safe. I deal with a lot of people issues and they need prayers.
Okay, thank you. Yes, sir?
I pray for this group of folks safe travel.
Yeah, we want to pray for your safe travel home, because y'all won't leave from here so excited and full of food. You'll have to take turns driving. Some of you hadn't driven in a long time. You're going to be driving. Yes, sir.
Can you pray for our friends and family and those still suffering in addictions?
Yeah. And, you know, those who suffer in silence in among our families.
Yes.
All day long, every week, who haven't had the power, the courage, or opportunity in some ways to step out. But you guys, we were praying for you constantly and lifting you up, and want to continue to do that. And you know, addiction takes many forms. You know, you get in trouble, you get sideways with the law when somebody made a law against what it was you got sideways with, but there are a lot of addictions that are just sanctioned by society and looked upon and cheered on and made to be glorified, and we just overlook all. I feel so, my belly was talking to me just now, saying, repent. Yes, sir.
My nephew was in a little league game yesterday and got knocked out. Was in Brenner's all day. But he got to go home, so
he's
prayed for
him. Amen. You want to say a name or not?
His name's
Abel.
Abel?
Yes, sir. Concussion and head injuries are a serious thing, especially among young people. Okay. Well, we watch God do amazing things in prayer at Walnut Grove. We've learned to be partners. He chooses to partner with us. Let us be a part of what he's doing. We celebrate that, but we take it very seriously every week. So we want to enter in a time of prayer. I'll be praying aloud, but you're welcome to pray right down the stream God takes you. Okay? Let's pray together. Fathers, we come to you this morning. We've already been surrounded and put on the robes, the garments of praise. And we've heard the voice of the redeemed. And God, we celebrate you just simply, and not because of anything you did for us, just because your nature should be praised this morning. Your essence and who you are should be glorified and lifted up. You are holy today, and we worship you. But God, as life goes on, we find you are coming after us. You come after us relentlessly. You never force anybody to turn into your sheepfold. But you come after us very powerfully, calling to us, loving us. And we have responded today with praise because of that. And God, we're so grateful that before we could love you or know how to love ourselves, you were loving us. And today, Lord, we pray for your powerful presence. Just pour your spirit out on all flesh in this worship service. Release praise, but also, Lord, release ministry gifts. Release the word. Release healing. God, wholeness. And God, may we smile inwardly as your spirit gazes into our lives to know that we have your love, that you're never going to love us one bit more than you love us right now. Even when we were forsaking you, Lord, you were loving us. And so, God, with the healing that comes, with the touch of your fingers that go where no human hand can reach. As you touch and heal today, we praise you. Ask you to anoint this time in ministry, Bethel Colony, Lord. These men and women have something to say and something to sing, and so we pray you'd be with them. In all things, Lord, just lift up high the name of Jesus. You heard our concerns, Lord. Now the private concerns of our own hearts come to the front. We pray for ourselves. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. That your healing will work wonders and miracles in our lives today. Through wholeness, we will find holiness. And we thank you for every work of healing we'll celebrate in the days to come. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name as the people cried out together. Amen. We have one more little thing. Well, there's the offering. No, that comes later. All right, we pray over our children before school starts. We ask them to bring their backpacks. Backpacks and book bags are just physical objects that can remind us of God's blessing, and the people who love us. So we're going to come down here to the front. I invite all our students, our educators, administrators, anyone who's present with education to come, homeschoolers, bring a backpack or bring your mama and dad, and we're going to pray over you and ask God to bless you in the coming year.
Residing within you today to bless and to curse, to remove blessing, to forgive or not. Very powerful. But when we bless as a church, something is set aside. We say, God, set this aside as holy. We don't feel very holy sometimes, but we are the people of God, assembled. And part of that is in extending our hands and blessing. And so I'm going to ask you, this is going to be a thing on the screen. We're going to pray and bless these students, these teachers, these bus drivers, these administrators, and these book bags. And so I'm going to ask you to extend your hand in blessing. And now this is not something, your arm's not just sticking out there, right? Something's coming out of your heart and out of your spirit to bless. Know what I'm saying? Okay, so let's bless these people. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we lift to you today these students. They stand here ready to receive your blessings, and they commit themselves to studying and learning in the school year ahead. We ask your blessing on each of them. We ask your blessing on all these backpacks. They will all the schoolwork to be carried from home to school and back again. As each person carries these backpacks, may they be reminded of the love and care of this congregation that surrounds them each school day. We pray as well for the teachers and administrators. May they also be sustained by your blessing.
May they be reminded that this congregation embraces their call to teaching and learning and surrounds them with love and care as well. We pray in the name of Jesus, who we seek to follow day by day. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. But now there's one more little thing. Where's little Jesus at?
I got him.
I got him.
Where's he at?
I got a little Jesus.
I got a bobblehead Darth Vader. No, it's my wife. But anyway.
Stormtrooper.
Oh, that's Stormtrooper.
You know, your teachers and administrators, everybody who works in your school building has been working so hard to be ready for tomorrow. For our first day of school. And I talked to a bunch of kids on Thursday who came to our meet the teacher, and especially the sixth graders who are new to middle school. It's like, how are you feeling about this? Are you excited? They're like, yeah. A little nervous. They're a little bit nervous. You know, a new grade, new teacher, maybe some new friends that you're going to meet this year in May. But we don't want you to be nervous about going into school. We want you to have the confidence that Jesus puts in your heart and to know that he's with you every step of the way. So we have a little Jesus for you to carry in your backpack to keep with you so that you'll remember he's there with you always. But you know what? It is not good enough just for us to have a little Jesus to take back to school. I think everybody needs a little Jesus with them, don't you? Yes. So we have a little Jesus for everybody. So let's get one for you in your backpack. And then if you can help pass them out to everybody else too. Could you do that for me? Okay, let's go get some little Jesus.
Okay. Well, that only take 45 seconds.
Grab you a few. You got to help give them out. Open the bag. Wait to get these out.
Yeah, during the just now. This doing.
there's, you're under no obligation to give an offering, but we will be just fine. If, you know, according to your heart, let it be so. We'll have the ushers come forward and receive the offering, and we'll do that. Remind you, brown plates are for support to the offering. Oh, we need a few more people now. There you go. One more jump in. Got one here? Girl?
Yes.
All right, one of the girls. That's right. Father, more than what we say on Facebook or put on our license tags or in our back window of our car, our generosity, our open spiritedness, and our hospitality tells the world what we think of you. So we pray that this offering will be a sign of the commitments we make, the obligations we have, and the joy we feel in this life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
You guys win.
Everybody close your eyes.
Close your eyes.
Close your eyes. I can't sit and watch it. Close your eyes and think about the most beautiful and wonderful thing you've ever seen. That thing that melts your heart. That thing that lets you know that God's real. Know that the very same God that created that thing, that beautiful thing that stirs you inside, created you on purpose, with a purpose. You ready to celebrate? Yes. Glory, glory, I've been singing since I laid my burden down. Glory, glory, singing hallelujah, God is faithful, hallelujah, God is faithful, hallelujah, Lord, I'm gonna sing. I feel better,
sing it now,
so much better, since I lay. Trip up to Bethel Colony and visit with my friend John And you guys sang a song there, and I could not wait to get home to learn it. And we've been singing it ever since. And so if you guys would oblige me and help me, I'm sure that you'll remember it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Woo! Feels like homecoming here to me. Bethel Colony Mercy, thank you so much for making that 2.5, 2-hour, 40-minute drive down this morning. Pastor Zach, John Thompson, Alan, Shirley. This is family meeting family.
Amen.
some of you guys, some of you girls don't know, in 2018, I graced those doors of Lenoir, North Carolina, and Bethel Colony Men's Facility. And I was a beat up, broken old man. I quickly discovered from a boy named Jimmy Springs that God puts places like Bethel Colony of Mercy tucked away in the hills of North Carolina because he loves us too.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what you've done, what you've been through. God is walking with you the whole way because God has orchestrated everything to get you to where you were at. And he did that with me, with Pastor Chris, Joy, my church family here, my sister, my kids, now this family here. You know, when I went to work in the office at Bethel, if I've been there just a couple of days, I met Pastor Zach Starnes. And tell you a little story. Everybody loves a good story. December 2018, first weekend there, we got, 37 inches of snow? And, I mean, it was just covered. Had no power in part of the buildings and everything. I was thinking, what has Pastor Chris done and dropped me off up there, and I got all these Jesus-loving people, but I quickly found out what I was getting into. But like I said, I went to work in the office, and part of the job is doing the announcements over the PA system. And if you got to know two things. There's a distinction of a yard and a hill. A yard is on a prison. A hill is in Lenoir, North Carolina. So I got on the PA and I said, "Tension on the yard, tension on the yard." Well, here comes this guy in a pair of flip-flops and shorts and t-shirt. And I did not know it was Pastor Zach Starnes. And he says, "Mr. Grissom, you are on a hill, not a yard. This is Bethel Colony of Mercy, not prison." And I thought, who is this dude? Well, the next day I found out who that dude was because he said, "I'm Pastor Zach Starnes and this is the rules." And he started going through the rules. But we partnered up with a good little friendship. Every time I see Pastor Zach, I tell you what, they're doing great things up there, and I'm not going to talk too much more, but it's just a pleasure to have y'all here today. And I wanted Bethel to meet Walnut Grove because of the things that Walnut Grove has done for me. Amen. And what Bethel does for me every day. And I tell you what, it's just a great place. And, you know, God is doing wonderful things up there. So I want y'all to know a little bit about Bethlehem, and Zach Starnes is going to handle that today. So Pastor Zach Starnes.
All right. Well, that was a good testimony right there, wasn't it? Yeah, this dude wears flip-flops and shorts and t-shirts. If you're wondering, that's me. Still to this day, that's how I dress. Jesus says, "Come as you are," not, you know, anyway. So that's how I live my life, with flip-flops. I mean, the way I look at it, the good Lord wants to choose my feet to put them on, right? You know, so at least I put something on the bottom of them. Come. Anyway, so I'm Pastor Zach Starnes. I've been introduced here. I am the Associate Director of Bethel Colony Mercy. And, you know, Bethel's an amazing place. Just a brief testimony. I mean, we're talking about testimonies, right? Psalm 107:2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Those who have been plucked from the enemy's hand, I can tell you that I've been plucked. We've got plenty of people here who've been plucked. And so I came through the doors of Bethel Colony in 2013 as a student, and I was 30 years old. I was 125 pounds of twisted steel and Okay, I wasn't twisted steel. I was just beat up in my addiction and my bondage. I weighed 125 pounds, literally soaking wet. And all kinds of addictions through my entire life. And so finished my 65-day program, come back to the third-day program because I loved it so much. Not really, I messed up. Okay, it's a little joke. These guys get it. I messed up. I had to come back and do a 30, but I can tell you what happened. God changed my life in that 30-day program. And I can tell you, when I was a student, sitting where what these students are today, I remember saying this statement, I would never work at a place like Bethel Colony Mercy. Knowing I was called in the ministry, I said, but I would never serve and work at a place like Bethel Colony Mercy. And we know that God has a sense of humor, let me tell you. Because here I am today, and He has elevated me and promoted me to be associate director. And each day I'm just like, wow, this is what I get to do. This is what He's called me to do. So anyway, that's enough about me. But I just want to thank you guys for welcoming us here. It's been an awesome morning. I tell you, the Holy Spirit is moving in this place. If you can't feel the Spirit of God, I don't know. It's pretty amazing this morning. Amen. So we do thank you for your prayers. We thank you for the donations you give us. We thank you for the opportunity to get to share today. We thank you for the meal that's coming. All right. So we are very thankful today that we can be a part and worship with you guys today. Now, before I get going, Bethel Colony, the men's campus, it holds, I think, 88 guys is where we're at right now, 88. I think we hold 88 guys, roughly. And the women's campus holds 22, roughly, is where we're at right now. But I can tell you that it takes a lot of help. God brings a lot of staff members to Bethel Colony, and a lot of them are students who went through the program, and they went through our other programs and have become staff. So we've got a few staff members I want to introduce because it does take a team to do the ministry work. Right over here, we've got Brother Allen sitting in the front row, Alan Shiflett, his wife, Miss Shirley Shiflett. They work both campuses. They go to men's campus, they go to women's campus. They Alan does he's a manager of construction, big projects. Miss Shirley does accounts receivable, but also she goes up, teaches the women's campus, helps out. They do ministry duty up there. So they're a vital asset going back and forth. We do have Phil Lambert right here in the front row. With orange sunglasses on, he looks really nervous. I'm gonna give him a hard time. He's gonna do his testimony this. I'm trying to make him feel a little more comfortable, you know. So, but he does our housekeeping manager. Phil has been he's like a little brother to me. He's older than me. He's been here for 6 years at Bethel Colony, and he was my counselee 6 years ago, and he's never left. And so I don't know. He's a staff member now. We love him. I got Barry Young. Y'all got to see him with the talent and blessings God's given him to be able to sing and play. And so he's our laundry manager, but also our worship leader. And so we got him, and I think it's all our staff we got with us today. But there's probably 20-some more staff members of both campuses. You know, so it takes a lot to run both places. Now, how many of y'all have heard of Bethel? I mean, full-on history, details of Bethel. So if some of you, but I'm going to give a brief history, and I won't spend too much time. Kind of give you a little bit of what we do at Bethel. Bethel was founded in 1948. By Jim and Ian Claffey, 1948. That's 76 years this year that Bethel Colony Mercy has been going. It's been growing strong. And I can tell you, when I was a student, it was 35 students. Here we are today at the men's campus. We got 88 plus the women's campus. And so the men's campus was founded in 1948. We are a nonprofit transformation center. That's what we call ourselves. We're not a Christian rehab. We're a transformation center. All right. You can go to rehab anywhere else in this world, in this country. But we are a transformation center. And the women's campus, I said the men's campus was founded in 1948, the women's campus 2018, roughly, I think, is when it started up. And so even since 2018 to where we're at today, the women's campus has grown tremendously. What we teach there at Bethel is the deliverance message of Jesus Christ. We are about Jesus, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and that's how we minister, that's how we help, that's how we live our lives up here. You can come set foot on the property, and I can tell you that you are going to notice there's something different about Bethel Colony Mercy, about that hill. We call it the Holy Hill, we call it the Combat Hill. But I can tell you, number one comment I hear people show up on our campus up there, God's campus, is they step out and they enter something different up here. And it is truly different. So I encourage you to come visit, come see us sometime. The method of how we do this, though, is we do it for, like I said, the finished work on Jesus, finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. You know, John 8:36 says that whomever the Son sets free is free indeed. And we hold true to that promise, we hold true to that statement. We know that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for more than just our salvation. It's a delivering blood, it's a redeeming blood, it's a healing blood. And so that's what we teach, we preach, we live there at Bethel. You know, our program is it's designed to provide a vital context in which men and women are encouraged to know Jesus Christ personally. Many have graced the church doors, maybe knew about Jesus, but get up there and actually have a personal, develop a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Or some people just get sidetracked and need to rededicate, refocus their lives and get some deliverance from the bondages in their life. And so that's all we do here. We trust in God. You know, like what really, when you talk about that, the offering, it says, give if the heart leads. If not, we're going to be all right. And that's how we should live our lives as followers of Christ, that He is going to provide everything. Everything. From the breath of air we just took in, to that meal that's being provided, to something you're going to need next week, He provides. And that's how we, in Bethel, He provides everything. It's solely donated. No donations is how Bethel runs. For 76 years, not too many places have run for that long, just solely off of donations and what God's people brings in. So we offer class studies every day, so they have daily teaching. The men's campus, we have five pastors. Okay, so we got a different flavor for about every day of the week up there. We got five different pastors. We all take turns preaching or teaching throughout the week. We share the load there. And so they get unique perspectives and different messages the Holy Spirit gives each of us. They do have biblical counseling at least one day a week. Each student is assigned a counselor, and they will be at least one scheduled day they meet up with their counselor for any kind of, you know, practical discipleship, practical biblical counseling. And also, if they need it, of course, the pastors or teachers are there around to help them. They have you know, guided personal Bible studies. They have prayer times. We do different workbooks and things to hold you accountable. And so there's not much idle time at Bethel. Is there any idle time? Not much idle time. You know, we understand that, you know, we get bored, we do things we probably shouldn't be doing until we learn to do something different. And so we provide a lot of teaching, a lot of workbooks and things to help us to stay focused. We also have time. Well, we do have idle time. I mean, we've got, you know, we got movie rooms, we've got TV rooms, we've got weight rooms, ball, you can play ball and different things. And it's good to also see that played out because you can learn how to fellowship in a different context that maybe you've not done in a long time. You know, praying before you hang out, praying while you're playing ball, praying while you're doing this, or just fellowshipping, and it's nothing but good old just hanging out and talking without having to have any kind of thing or substance be in the way of that. You know, God has provided Bethel as a place for healing. I like to describe my personal view of Bethel Colony Mercy as it's a greenhouse. I think that, you know, if you grow plants, you plant seedlings, and then you put them in a greenhouse until the temperature or weather's right or conditions right, or the way I look at it, you wait till they're strong enough to handle all those things, and you plant them out in the garden. So I believe Bethel's like a greenhouse. People come to us, the Word of God is planted, and they have time to grow and get stronger before they go back out into the world and have to be planted or rooted in their communities to do what God's called them to do. That way they can withstand the things that comes against them. Our initial program is a 65-day program. And so before you can go to any other program, you have to complete a 65-day program. And one of the things I can tell you, most people say, well, how long's the program? You tell them 65 days, like, oof, I don't know if I can do 2 months. I was thinking maybe like a 28-day place. But I can tell you, the proof is in the pudding if you look at the versus 28-day stuff versus a 65-day transformation center. And so it's a 65-day program. We do offer four 30-day extensions. So if a student goes through, we call the people God brings the students. All right, so if the student goes to the program to complete successfully a 65-day program and they want to spend some more time there and they need to further, maybe working on an exit plan, maybe just maybe they feel like God's not done with them yet at that time, then we will allow them to do up to 30-day extensions, and that will help them get ready for their next step. But we also do offer a 6-month vocational student program. And a vocational student is someone that commits to 6 months of being a student at Bethel Colony Mercy. They will complete the initial 65-day program. They'll complete at least one 30-day extension. And then they'll commit to 6 months of being a student at Bethel Colony. And what they do is their responsibilities, they'll help out with staff pretty much hand in hand. Each department has a volunteer or a vocational student that works with them hand in hand. I brought a lot of my VSPs, we're calling VSPs here, and today. And we trust them a little bit more, I guess, a little more day-to-day stuff. They also learn to get a little more amenities, get a little more free time, get TVs in a room, just slowly get integrated back to things of the world, and so they can learn how to manage and handle it. All right, we also do have this new thing that we've started at the men's campus. We have a work program, kind of like a halfway house. The Lord has blessed us with a property to where we're in the future here next year or so. Hopefully we'll be able to open up a halfway house for the men just right now that can, when they complete X amount of time with the program, they can transition into a halfway house, and that way get back to work and have some accountability, some structure. And so we have been practicing doing a little bit of that with the program. We've got a few guys, I think 8 guys on our work program at Bethel, and we're treating it like a halfway house type thing, trying to learn. And so that's something that's new and coming. So as you think about praying for us in our future events, we do have you know, a property needs to be worked on, and that's going to be a new undertaking for us to branch out to a halfway house. Let's see here. To kind of give you a day-to-day, what our routine looks like at Bethel, just so you can get an idea. I say there's not much idle time. Wake-up time is like 6:30 in the morning. And at the men's campus, we have this thing that the guys love to wake up to. It's a cowbell or cattlebell. Old triangle. You know the old dinner bells? Y'all love waking up to that, do you not? Yeah. See how fired up they are. I mean, that thing... I'm not going to lie, when I was a student, I was like, I want to strangle somebody. That's just how I feel, because somebody's walking down the hall and ringing this big bell at 6:30 in the morning. So they can wake up with that in the morning. And then they have a breakfast at 7. they have quiet time in the morning, so we make sure that after they eat and get going, that they have quiet time from 7:55 to 8:15. And that's a time for them to sit there and pray, do their book work, do a devotion, try to make sure they're allotting some time just for them and the Lord. And so we do that. They have class. They have a break from 8:15 to 8:30. Class goes from 8:30 to 10 o'clock, maybe a little longer, depending on who's preacher teaching, right? Amen. Sometimes it gets a little longer, don't it? So then we have work day begins at 10:30. And they work from 10:30 to 11:45, and they get a break from 11:45 to 1 o'clock. And that's when they do the lunch. At 1 o'clock, work picks up. They work till 2:45. They get a break to 3 o'clock, and then work day ends at 4:30. So it's not a lot of work, but it is something to get us back in the routine of working or developing a habit of working. And the only thing different on Saturday is that the work day ends at 2:30, and Sunday they wake up at 7:30, an hour later. Let them sleep in a little bit. Now, the one thing that we do offer there at Bethel is we offer the GED classes. So if a student comes through and has their high school diploma or their equivalent, we do offer two. The guy comes in and two nights a week and does the GED classes. And so it's an opportunity for these guys to get their GEDs while they're at the property. And I think I hit most of the day-to-day stuff. Now, let me ask you a question here. How many of my students here that I brought with me, how many of y'all have been to other rehabs, if you don't call it that, a rehab, a secular place? How much did, what's some numbers y'all paid for the entry to go to these places? What's some prices?
$25,000.
Ladies, you got anything?
$15,000.
$36,000? Oh, $36,000. I said $36. Let me go there, okay? So $36,000. And I bring that up because God has done this amazing thing where He provides this amazing program for a one time fee of $350 at Bethel County Mercy. $350 don't cover much, I'm telling you. But that's what we feel like the Lord's called us to charge. And so $350 entry fee, and it's a one-time deal there. And so that's you get a lot. You know, room and board for 2 months, meals for 2 months, your laundry done for 2 months, get to all the teaching and the preaching and the living it out for 2 months for $350. So it's amazing what God can do with that $350.
Yeah.
And there's only a couple things that would, you know, the process to get to Bethel. And we do have some brochures and things placed in the back there. So if you would take some on your way out, maybe you know somebody that needs some help, send them our way. But I think first thing is application. And you can go online. You can Google. The easiest way I found to do it, and I'm not tech savvy, is I Google, like, Bethel County Mercy's men's application or Bethel County Mercy women's application. It'll take you right to the page, and they can fill it out online. Or they can call and talk to us on our main office line. And a student actually works in the office. We'll fill out the application with them. That'll get the ball rolling, and then there's a couple tests we'll need, an HIV test, a tuberculosis or TB test, and for the ladies' camps, we'll do a pregnancy test, and a criminal record if there's something, you know, long criminal record, and if there's any medical limitations, a medical you know, history and all that stuff. But it's not too complicated that people on the phones can help walk you through it. And that's pretty much it to get the ball rolling. Average wait time when we're busy is maybe a couple weeks at the men's campus, maybe a little longer at women's campus, a little less beds. But like right now in the summer months, we are, you know, pretty quick turnaround as far as getting people in. And our website is bethelcolony.org. If you need to check it out and look at it, got any questions, always call us, talk to us. We'd be more glad to help you any way we can. And that's pretty much the end of my rant or my little history of Bethel. I had to read through it quick.
Yeah, it was really good.
Well, thank you. Did I answer it all? Or we got any questions? Anybody in the church got any questions? Anything maybe I didn't speak about?
You've not turned people down for not having the $350.
No, we have not turned anybody down for not having a $350 entry fee. We asked, you know, to pay if you can, but we know sometimes it's not a position we're in. But also, I think that's part of the beautiful thing that God provides other people that will step up at times and will, hey, let me pay for that guy or that lady's entry fee. You know, so don't let that be something that deters you if you don't have the finances. Okay, it's God's money anyway, so I think He'll provide the way.
Yeah.
Thank you for that question. Yes, ma'am.
Person.
Oh, that's a good question. Four times. So if we have four times is the cutoff. So if somebody can come through, I mean, some of us, these guys right here, how many times y'all been here?
Three times.
Twice. Four times. And so, but after four, we kind of cut them off. And the reason we do that is because I think, you know, you get comfortable to a place, get comfortable with the people. And, but, you know, it took me coming through twice. It took our executive director coming through three times. Alan, three times? What, you sure did four? Yeah, three times. And so, you know, four times is cut off. But I learned more in my coming back than I did in my first initial stay. So I think it might be true, right? And so, yes, four. Any other questions? Yes.
If a participant had children, are they allowed to visit?
That's a good question. Visits. The way we do visits, we want the students to be there for 2 weeks or 14 days before they get a visit. Okay, that's just to get acclimated to the program, get adjusted, and let the dust settle a little bit. And what they'll do is if they we have a visit form they'll fill out when they're if they're 14 days, whatever weekend that falls on, and they'll fill out a visit form. And the way we do visits, if they do have children, they can do an overnight visit. They can leave at 3 p.m. on Saturday, come back Sunday morning for time for church, like 10 o'clock, and then they may go back after the church service till 6 p.m. And that's kind of how a visit will do for an overnight. Now, if they don't, you know, if they don't have your family, if they don't have kids, they can do a, or not married, they can do a 3 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Saturday, and then still go back after church, like 1 to 6 on a Sunday. And you get three visits in a 65-day program. And if somebody extends, they get, you know, two in each 30-day program.
What's the minimum age?
18. 18 is the minimum age. Yep. Anything else? Yes. Yeah, we've been doing this awesome thing, or God's been doing this awesome thing, let's be a part of, but we have had husbands and wives come to the campus at the same time. We got one guy right here right now. He's graduated the program. He and his wife are at the program together, but that's something that the Lord's really opened the door, is that they can go to their separate campuses and really focus on themselves and their relationship with God, but also in that process, after about 30 days or so, we look at the possibility of doing some small marriage counseling. We really encourage any couples to come to do more than 65 days. Really start really focusing on marriage counseling after the 65 days. And so we do offer that now.
What's your failure rate?
Failure rate? Mm-hmm. I'll have to think about the success rate. What it used to be? It used to be 85% or something like that, Alan? Yeah, Christian facilities like 85% success rate. I've not looked in years. That's what it used to be a few years back. I've not looked at it and talked to them. Let's see, but that's what it used to be. So it's pretty high compared to secular. I can't even remember what the numbers used to be there, like 13 or something low. Anything else? Well, we did a good job, didn't we? We answered all the questions. We got her done, didn't we? Amen. Yeah. Are y'all ready to hear some of these students here sing and get some testimonies? All right, so let's go ahead and get, let me go ahead and get the gentleman. The gentleman, if you come up. I know you used to do ladies first, but we'll put you guys in the back. Come on up here. Get your book. You got your books? All the way up here?
Yeah, right.
Oh, right here. There you go. Thank you, sir. Angelic choir up here. Okay. Okay, ladies, would you like to start coming up here?
Y'all ready to give God some praise? We're not a professional choir at all. Amen. We didn't come here to impress, but we came here to lift up the name. So we just want you to get right into it, so you know the song, sing, stand, give God praise, whatever you feel like. More American. I must say this. When I came in this door this morning, such a sweet spirit. You all know that. I've been to a lot of Methodist churches. Y'all act like nothing. You know what? The good thing about being saved is God saves us when He doesn't take our first name. Amen. So I just thank God for being a part of that. I've been a student. I came in 2021 and tried my best to leave, and I'm still here. Amen.
I just had back surgery, by the way. It was called a lumbar interbody fusion. 4.5 hours on the table. Doctor told me, said it's a 50-50% chance that you may not walk. But look at God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. We can give him a hand clap. Amen. Praise God. 177. I need a book too. Pastor, with your permission, where'd Pastor go?
I'm right here.
Yeah, I like to do things in the way I was trained, in decency and in order. Amen. Pulpit is sacred. So, with your permission.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I appreciate you asking.
How many know the battle belongs to the Lord? Amen.
Yes.
Ready. Ready. You can stand. Help us out, y'all. Come on.
When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain move.
Yeah, come on.
This one.
Good afternoon. My name is Crystal. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Lord, I thank you that you have given each and every one of us the opportunity to be in front of your people, Lord, just to share our glory that you have brought us to. Lord, I just ask you to be with me as I speak. And Father, thank you so much for the transformation that you have done in each and every lady's life, every man's life that is standing behind me, and people in this congregation. So, Father, I just pray that we will use this time to bless someone or just more than just one person, God. But I pray that I just go after you and just let your words flow through me in Jesus' name.
I know who I am. I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have
thank you.
See us come and glad to see us hurry up and get out of here. So I'm going to ask you to stand and worship with us. This is going to be our last song and last testimony for the day. Is that going to be all right? Praise God.
Praise God. Everybody there?
opportunity pass, believing that God works right in the middle of our mess. And you heard story after story, song after song of God doing just that. At the right moment, the proper moment, the best moment of all time, was the very worst moment in your life. And you didn't even know how far down you could go when it was the last moment. So, we ought to take just a minute here, see if anybody's at their lowest moment. This is a call to be saved. This is a call to be rescued. You don't need to be saved unless you're in trouble. You don't need to be rescued unless you're going down. Sometimes we need to be rescued several times. But if this is your moment today, in the very midst of the bottom of the well, worst of the trouble, then come to this altar, pray to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, and He will come. And by the way, Lord means God. Jesus is God. He will come. He will rescue. Save. This moment can be that moment.
Amen.
You'll find out that you never stood taller than when you stood with the ranks of folks who've been there and done that, and got the t-shirt, and got to save. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to sing a song, Rescue the Perishing. I know it's late, but we've had a good morning of worship. And then during that song, if you want to come down here and receive prayer for any reason, we'll be here to pray with you. Pastor Zach knows how to pray with people. I believe we all can do it.
Yes, sir.
Let's sing that song, 457 in the hymnal, this hymnal. Rescue the Perishing, okay? And then we'll go eat some supper.
All right.
Thank you.
Remember what we said about blessing and withholding blessing. Remember how easy it is for family to send messages of rejection through just the day-to-day living of family life. How important it is for us to affirm one another, to reach each other in the deepest, darkest places. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious. The Lord turn his countenance to you. Amen. This is also our blessing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our fellowship today. We ask you to bless this food and the nourishment of our bodies. Don't make us wait on the preacher to get to the front of the line. Bless the food and bless our fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.